Remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's salvation. We are saved by Jesus.
Pastor Brett Metter explains, there's a way for all to enter in, though it's an exclusive path to salvation.
Jesus is going to say, I'm the door you got to go through if you're going to be saved. The big question is, have you gone through the door?
In the third I Am statement of Jesus in John chapter 10, we find Jesus declaring himself the door for the sheep. But why exactly do sheep need a door? And what does it mean for us? Coming up on today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter expounds on the purpose of the door, why there's only one, and how we can enter to find rest and eternal life in Jesus.
We're going through the Gospel of John in verse 22 of chapter 10. That's where we're gonna turn today, chapter 10. But in verse 22, it says it was in Jerusalem during the Feast of Dedication, which is Hanukkah, by the way. So this is during the winter time, Jesus in Jerusalem. And this is where he's making these, in the Gospel of John, these great declarations. We call them the I Am statements. The I Am statements. Where do we get that idea? Well, the I Am, the name of God in the Old Testament, we learn that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. And really, the Jews would know from this day forward that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is known as the I Am. Translated in the Greek Septuagint in the Old Testament, back in the 270 BC, the I Am in the Greek becomes the ego eimi statement. And the reason that's important is because you wouldn't just say ego eimi in the Greek in a normal context of saying, you know, like, I am going to church today, or I am going to eat a hot fudge sundae. You wouldn't say that as like ego eimi. But to say that in the Greek in Jesus's time, when Jesus would say these great declaratory statements, he was connecting himself to be known as the same, as the I Am of the Old Testament. That's why when Jesus was saying, before Abraham was, I am. And first thing they did is reach down and picked up rocks and they wanted to stone him to death. Why did they do that? Because he's declaring himself to be the I Am of the Old Testament. Very powerful. Seven I Am statements that Jesus made all in the Gospel of John. So those are the points of study that we were being on. The first one, Jesus declared himself to be I am the bread of life, John 6:35. We saw Jesus declare himself to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. And so this is where we pick it up in our study. Now we come to the third I am statement, and it's here in John chapter 10, verse 7. Let's take a look. John 10, 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We love this declaration. I've come to love Jesus, not only as the bread of life and the light of the world, but also the door. The door of what? Well, you could say the door of salvation. But you got to understand, he's talking about the door of the sheepfold. What does that have to do with anything? Well, as it turns out, Jesus is going to say, I'm the door you got to go through if you're going to be saved. The big question is, have you gone through the door? That's kind of the question of the day. In fact, maybe you've heard this riddle. It's a riddle known as the problem of the two doors. And it goes like this. The rules are clear. There are two doors. You're in a dungeon. In this dungeon, there's two doors. One door leads to the castle where you go free. The other leads to certain death. You get to ask one question to one of the guards to help you decipher which door is the correct one. Sounds simple enough, but there's a catch. One guard always lies and the other guard always tells the truth. To solve this puzzle, you must ask either of the guards. It doesn't matter which one you ask, but you ask which door would the other guard say leads to safety? Both guards will indicate the same door, which, you know, will be the door that doesn't lead to life, but leads to death. So you ask, what would the other guard say? And then you do the opposite. If the guard you ask is the one who lies, then he will lead you astray by telling you falsely that the other guard, the truthful guard, will point you toward door B. This makes door A the safe bet. You got to do the opposite. And it works either way, if you ask the honest one or the dishonest one. Now you say, Brett, that's great. Interesting little riddle, whatever. I'm just glad that the real door of salvation, we don't have to worry that much about all that. It's not as complex. And I'm going to say, maybe. Is the door of life as complex as the riddle? Maybe not as complex. You don't have to be as smart to figure it out, maybe. But it is tricky, and I'll tell you why. We do have doors that are involved. Jesus says, I am the door. Did you notice what verse 9 said? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So this is an important door. You got to choose the right door. And I would say there's not two doors. I'm going to say there are many doors that are offered to you and me that offer life, salvation, eternal bliss, nirvana, you know, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of so-called doors. But here's even the part that makes it a little trickier. We have like the two characters in the riddle. You've got the lying guard and the truthful one. As it turns out, we have an influencer in our story, Satan. And the Bible nicknames Satan the deceiver or deceitful one. That's Satan's whole thing. He wants to dupe you. He wants to trick you. You'll be bamboozled by Beelzebub. Like that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to mess with you. On the other hand, Jesus, he's not only truthful, but the Bible tells us he is the truth. He's the embodiment of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we still have, we got doors. We got to make a choice. Jesus is always truthful. Satan is always deceitful. So I do want to say, you probably should put some thought into this. Have I gone through the true door of life? And that's something that's worth our consideration today. So Jesus declares himself to be here in John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. He says, I am the door. Now, one thing I like about this so far in our I Am series, have you noticed how basic each thing Jesus declares himself to be as an example, it's just so elementary. I love it, because even a child can understand these things. I am the bread of life. What's more basic or simple than just bread? Everybody knows bread is good, unless you're Atkins diet, I guess, or whatever, but bread is good. But bread also is that which is kind of, in all cultures, throughout all of history, bread is the basic sustenance of life. So that makes sense. She says, I am the bread of life. Light. It's so simple. We like light. Darkness is no fun at all, but light is good. And even a child can understand, yeah, leave the light on. I like the light. And Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. In the same way of total simplicity, he says, I am the door. When you think about the door, you know, a door is something that's so common. I mean, many of you have been through a lot of doors already today. How many doors have you been through today? Have you thought about that? Probably not. But you probably got up out of bed and then you went through a door because you went into the bathroom to brush your tooth, comb your hair. You went out of that door into the other part of the house, probably another door. And then you went from that door, you went to the garage through a door, and then you got into car door, and then you opened your garage door. Like you went through doors. The average person goes through 30 to 50 doors every single day. Brett, you're making that up. No, I looked it up. Did you know there's 42 billion doors roughly in the world, 42 billion doors. But as it turns out, Jesus is gonna use this door analogy that's something that's so common, something that you and I are so familiar with, we don't even think about it that much. But Jesus says, guess what? I'm the door. It's a very simple topic, but very powerful illustration. And it's gonna include with it some dangers to watch out for and some things to think about. So let's consider this door. In fact, number one on our list of things to do, let's consider the door itself. It's called here the door of the sheepfold. The shepherd would take his sheep, the flock, you know, out to graze during the day on the pastures. Then in the evening, they would lead the flock into the sheepfold. Now, what's a sheepfold? It's kind of like a corral. We might call it a corral, but in Bible days, they called it a sheepfold. And it was really these sort of corrals made of rock. They would pile rock up 5 to 6 feet high, and they'd get the flock to go in. And then guess what? The shepherd would, once the flock was in there, he would sleep in the doorway of the sheepfold so that no sheep would go out, but also that predators wouldn't come in. He was the door. He became sort of the door of the sheepfold, as it turns out. By the way, this is something you still see in Israel today. There's literally shepherds, these Bedouin shepherds all over Israel. When you're going in the West Bank, it's not uncommon to see a shepherd walking, and he looks like a Bible good days guy. Those Bedouins, they haven't changed their style that much since 2,000 years ago, except for the satellite TV dish that's on their tent. Other than that, they look like old time Bible people. But they're walking along, and their sheep are following. 100, 200 sheep following along, just, and they're following the shepherd. We were in Israel once, and our tour guide was saying, notice the sheep always follow the shepherd. And he made a real point of that because the Bible says, you know, the sheep follows the shepherd. And you can see that illustrated beautifully in Israel. One time we were there, there was this one thing we were driving by, and all these sheep were being driven by a guy, and the sheep were running, and he was driving them. And a person on our bus said, hey, you know, tour guide, that's wrong. Look at that shepherd's driving that group of sheep. And our tour guide said, that's not the shepherd. He's the butcher. Interesting difference between driving versus us following, but that's a whole nother thing. But all that to say, the sheepfold illustration from Israel, this is what they would do. And often it wouldn't just be one flock. Maybe three or four shepherds would bring their whole flock and share one sheepfold. Now, this is important as we study John chapter 10. It gets kind of interesting because how do you suppose they divvied out their sheep in the morning, you know, after they're all done sleeping? Well, as it turns out, the Bible gives us this illustration in John 10 that the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd and he will follow them. But if it's not the voice of the shepherd, they won't follow. They'll run from the other shepherd, but they'll follow the voice and my sheep know my voice. This is what Jesus would say. In fact, you might say, why is Jesus talking about himself being the door of the sheepfold? Well, it actually has to do with the first part of this chapter. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells a parable, and they just don't understand what he's talking about. Our text is where Jesus explains what his parable is about. In fact, let's back up and do a quick review. In John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not which he spake to them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. And then he gives them the answer. Okay, you want to know the key, the code of my parable? He said, I am the door of that sheepfold. And there are those that are robbers and thieves that want to come and rip off the sheep. By the way, what would a robber do in those days? The shepherd might be sleeping in the door, but a robber might, and his buddy, they might climb over the backside of the wall and enter into the sheepfold, not by the door. And they would come, throw a sheep over the wall, slit its throat, and have lamb chops. That's the way it worked. So this was part of the parable. Jesus said, if they didn't go in by the door, it's not the shepherd, it's a thief and a robber. Well, who are the thieves and robbers in our story here? Well, as it turns out, we're gonna see Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. They were religious people that were ripping off the people. They were doing what they did, and they were actually not caring of the sheep, but they were actually targeting the sheep instead of caring for the sheep. Interesting. This really starts to raise some interesting things about this. In fact, as we consider parts of this, first let's consider the door itself. The door itself and the necessity, number one, of the door. There's a little sub point here in point number one. Sub point one, the necessity of the door. Why is it so necessary? The door is because the sheep needed to get in and they needed the protection. Sheep are not brilliant. I've said this a million times. By the way, I got a letter from a really nice lady, and I appreciated the letter. She wrote the book on sheep, and she's really smart about sheep. But she was saying, Brett, you say sheep are so dumb. They're not, and she was like defending sheep. And so I read it, she made some good points, but I'm gonna stand my ground. Sheep are dumb. I'm sorry. I raised sheep. We had sheep on my farm. My grandparents raised sheep. We knew sheep growing up. Now, relatively, a sheep is smarter than a cockroach. I'll give you that. Or, you know, a mosquito or something like that. But sheep are not the most brilliant, like compared to a dolphin or an elephant or whatever. Sheep are dumb. And also, they're defenseless. Like, sheep have a really hard time. What is a sheep gonna do to a wolf or a lion or a bear? They can run, but they can't even run very good. They just kind of wobble along as they run, and they're not super fast. Sheep are defenseless. And I think that's important because the Bible takes great pains to use sheep as an analogy of us. Like Isaiah the prophet, when he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that is Jesus, the Lamb of God. They laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was the Lamb who would die on the cross for us sheep that have gone astray. It's a beautiful prophecy about Jesus. But as it turns out, Jesus is saying, guess what? I am the door that protects the sheep from the thieves and robbers. And we'll see, that'll be the religious leaders of the day. But not only robbers and thieves, another reason sheep would go into the sheepfold was not just protection from robbers and thieves, but also from predators. Did you know in Bible times, there were still lions and bears in the Holy Land? Remember when David killed a lion and a bear and people were like, there's no lions and bears in Israel? Well, there sure was at that time. In fact, the Assyrians, when they came down to Israel and captured all the northern 10 tribes, there was an infestation of lion attacks on the Assyrian army, which was actually a biblical thing. But it's kind of a whole nother thing. That was recorded outside of Bible history, interestingly enough. But to be protected from the predator, well, Brett, if the robbers and the thieves were the Pharisees, well, who's the lion? Well, we know that, right? It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know, sheep are skittish around lions. They're freaked out. If a lion is nearby, sheep are not happy. Well, Brett, what do you know about that? You may have raised sheep. Well, I actually do know about that. Remember when I've told you that I lived next to an animal actor's farm in Southern Oregon? It's something that I still kind of chuckle at growing up. I lived 1 mile away from this farm that had the MGM lion. Like, you know when you see a movie and the lion roars? That lion was at my house when I was a kid. Just 1 mile down the road, I could ride my bike and look at the lion in its cage. And they had giraffes and bears and llamas and camels and all kinds of, and Disney used these animals in their movies and stuff. It's kind of cool. But this is true. At nighttime, you could hear the lion roar before dinner. You know, before they threw a few ribeye steaks to the lion, he would roar. And you could hear it. It was this huge subwoofer, like, and you could hear it a mile away. My favorite part of that was my grandpa. He was a gardener. He had a big garden and petunias and flower. And he had tons of deer that would eat up all his stuff. So he drove his tractor with a trailer down the road, picked up a load of lion manure from the animal farm, came back and sprinkled lion manure all over his garden. To this day, there's not a deer within a mile of that property. My grandpa, he's in heaven now, but I'm sure the people that own the property now are like, man, deer are not a problem here. To this day, it's still. Anyway, I have practical evidence because right there, we had sheep at my grandpa's little farm. He had sheep there as well. And when the lion would start roaring, you could see the sheep get skittish and it kind of freaked him out. You could calm our sheep down by feeding them and just being there. They would sort of calm down. By the way, what makes a sheep calm? Well, two things have to exist. They have to be fed and they have to feel safe. And without that, sheep get really skittish and start darting in different directions, sometimes right into the lion's mouth. That's a whole nother thing. But this is the point Jesus is saying. I'm the shepherd and I'm the door of the sheepfold. And he says, I'm gonna be the one that protects you from not only the robbers and thieves, but the predator, which is Satan, who seeks to devour you. Now, Jesus says, if you go through my door, you'll be saved. You're saying, well really, but okay, saved from a lion, saved from the religious leaders. What does that mean? But it also means saved, that is, if you get away from the analogy of the sheepfold and the sheep, it's literally talking about salvation from hell, being saved to go to heaven. You gotta go through the door of Jesus, the Messiah. Remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's salvation. We are saved by Jesus, which I'm so thankful we have Jesus as the door that we can go through for salvation. So sub point number two, we have the necessity of the door, but I also want to talk about just briefly the singularity of the door. There's only one door and Jesus makes that clear. He doesn't say, I am a door of the sheepfold. He said, I am the door and there is no other. One of the things you have to know, and by the way, the world doesn't like this about us Christians. You Christians are too narrow-minded. There's many paths that lead to heaven or salvation, many paths, and the answer is no. The Bible doesn't teach that, not one slight, tiny little bit. Jesus will say this in many other things when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father in heaven but by me. There's people say, well, that's not true. There are many paths that lead to heaven. Many doors, no. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate. By the way, the word gate there, some of your newer translations in John chapter 10, our text, some of them, Jesus saying, I am the gate of the sheepfold. That is a proper translation. Gate or door probably doesn't matter as much, but it's functioning as the same thing. That's an important thing to know. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But that's a scary little verse right there, if you ask me. Few there be that find it. There's one way to go, and there's gonna be a lot of people going through the big wide open gate, but as it turns out, narrow is the gate. This is the world. The world just naturally wants to go through the big wide gate. But the Bible says it's just a narrow, straight little gate that leads to everlasting life. And as it turns out, Jesus is that gate. He is that door. He's the only one. Not only here in Matthew, remember what Acts chapter 4, verse 12, talking about Jesus, it says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's popular in our world to say, coexist. Let's all just be religious together and good for you. You found your path. Let's celebrate your path. And people have become so open-minded, their brains have fallen out. It's really sad. I believe the Bible to be inerrant and perfect. And when Jesus says, I am the only way, I'm gonna just believe what the Bible says. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's it.
Pastor Brett Metter reinforcing the clear direction of the gospel that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. More vital truths from our study of the Gospel of John on today's Word. And I hope you'll stick around as Pastor Brett will join me in just a moment. Brett Metter is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland in West Lynn, Oregon. And we'd like to invite you to listen again for more of the study of God's Word. If you've missed any portion of our message, you can find all of Pastor Brett's studies online at todayswordradio.com. You can also make a comment or share a prayer request by going to todayswordradio.com. All right, I do have Pastor Brett with me now. Brett, your story of how you got started teaching God's Word is worth repeating. You actually began teaching from God's Word very young, didn't you?
Yeah, I started teaching Sunday school when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
I was a big kid. They thought I was older, and so they let me teach a class of 30 first graders. And I did that for a year, and then they bumped me up to the sixth graders. So I was only a year older than the sixth grade class. And I just kept teaching. Then they made me the children's pastor at my church growing up at 17, and our church grew to a big church, and then just kept teaching the Word to youth and college age at our church. And then when the Lord stirred our hearts to start a church in the Portland area, that was really as a senior pastor teaching verse by verse through the Bible. And it's been just something I've always wanted to do from the earliest years I can remember.
That is a great story, Brett. And I know one of the Bible teachers of the past who you admire is J. Vernon McGee.
Yeah.
So when people tune in to Today's Word each day, what should they expect from your teachings?
Sure. You know, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We don't skip any word of the Bible. And, you know, my first time through, we did more of a little bit of a survey, like J. Vernon McGee, where it wasn't every single word of the book of Numbers. We'd kind of pass through a chapter and say. But the last time through, we did not skip a word. Yeah. And the congregation was thankful for that. You know, just giving credit to every single word, as we believe the Word of God is inspired.
Right.
I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but for us, it's really been a blessing to cover every single word. So if you go to Athey Creek or listen to Today's Word, you're going to get every single word of the Bible. We don't skip a chapter or verse or word of the Bible.
That's great to know. Thank you, Brett. And again, we want to remind our listeners that we'll be here each day to go through God's Word. For more information about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also find a place to make a comment or share a prayer request. Again, go to todayswordradio.com. Well, I hope you can be back as Pastor Brett shares the second half of this message called, I Am the Door. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.